Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to today's Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust in Solihull, England. Maurice Payne's message today is entitled Elisha Died and Was Buried, and we think you will be helped and blessed as we share the lessons to be learned from this incident that happened after Elisha's death. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and singers. We're always glad to hear from our listeners, and so do write to us if this programme is of special blessing to you. Stay tuned for today's message.
Elisha died and was buried. Now Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. 2 Kings 13, verses 20 and 21.
This that we read of a man reviving when his body was thrown into the grave of Elisha is an unusual incident in the Old Testament. This is a graveyard scene where an insurgency was taking place as they tried to bury a body. There was a guerrilla war going on, and when a band of raiders appeared, they had to move quickly. So, probably without thinking, they threw the body into what seems to have been an open grave or tomb of Elisha. When they did this, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. And so today, this is the verse at which we are looking.
When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet.
This is but one of many wonderful things recorded in the Bible. It happened when many miracles were taking place. The time of Elijah and Elisha was a time of unprecedented miracle working. A time of refreshing, as it is described in the New Testament. The days then were filled with miracles. Elijah experienced God's provision throughout the years of drought from a small jar of flour that the Lord multiplied. And then later, when the widow's child died, that child was restored to life. And you will remember, it was here that we have the calling down of fire to burn up the water-sodden sacrifice on Mount Carmel, as Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal, and the miraculous ending of the drought. And then, just before he was taken into heaven, and that itself was a miracle, wasn't it? Elijah parted the waters of Jordan and passed over them with Elisha. When that happened, Elisha was asked what he wanted from Elijah. And he prayed for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And the number of miracles recorded of him there in the scriptures was just double those recorded of Elijah. The miracle we heard today occurred at the end of Elisha's life, after he had died. We're not told anything about the man who they were burying. The important thing was that it was into the tomb of Elisha that he was thrown, and his body fell upon Elisha's bones. We aren't given any details of the man because they don't matter. Whether he was rich or poor, young or old, good or bad. In fact, the incident reminds us of the occasion in the ministry of Jesus, again that marvellous period of miracle working, when Jesus and his disciples met a funeral procession coming out of the village of Nain. On that occasion, we're not given the identity of the man, other than it was his mother who led the mourners.
Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Luke 7 verses 11 to 15.
Did you notice the scripture said the funeral procession came to a halt when Jesus touched it? And the burial of this man in the Old Testament was stopped when his body touched the bones of Elisha. Then we should note there was no question about reviving Elisha's bones. His body was lying in the tomb, no doubt tucked away, but easily opened. It was not the bones that did the miracles, but the power of God. No more the bones than the handkerchiefs, which Paul distributed in the book of Acts. But there are some important lessons we can learn from it. The first is, whatsoever state we're in, when we meet Jesus, he's able to make a change. He stops the downward slant of the funeral procession. We can spiritualize by saying Jesus brings the dead back to life. We can retain objects that remind us of what God did, like Aaron's rod that budded, that was kept in the Ark of the Covenant, and the clothes that Dorcas had made, that they displayed to all who visited after she died. These were not worshipped as anything special. They were not venerated. Elisha's bones did serve to remind all who knew about the incident of Elisha's God and the power of the Lord to work in the affairs of men. The other thing we should note is that in both these stories, the resurrecting just raised again to life. It was a sort of reviving, because sooner or later they had to die again. Only those with God's gift of eternal life can look forward to living forever in the presence of the Lord. It's eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God knows at what time our call should come. Some complete their life at a very early age, and we say God calls them to be with himself. Others live long past, which we might call their sell-by date. We cannot understand the ways of the Lord, whether he calls us early or late, any more than we can understand accidents that befall us, or burdens we are made to carry. The important thing today is that Elisha's influence or ministry continued after he had died. We are reminded of words in the book of Revelation, their works do follow them as they relate to the glorified ones in heaven. With our lives, we sow in hope. We do not see the completion of most things we begin, and it may be that folk had forgotten all about Elisha. He was a has-been, but his influence lived on. It was as though he walked so closely with God that the miracle-working power and presence of the Lord stayed with his physical body at this time. Elisha made an indelible mark on his generation by the life he lived. He had a wide influence before he died. And we must recognize that just as God has given to everyone life, so he's given them opportunity to make their mark, however small and insignificant it may seem at the time. But we should remember that the miracles of the Lord are done with small things. Here in 1 Kings it was a pot of oil that the widow had. In the Gospels it was a lad with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And it should be known to us that God can take the smallest of things to achieve a mighty miracle. Think again about that lad with the loaves and fishes. Probably Andrew saw him trying to get to give his lunch to Jesus. And when asked about it, Andrew said, "What are these among so many?" But Jesus had seen the lad coming, and that changed the situation. It changes the situation when it's brought to the attention of Jesus. Andrew thought it was impossible. "How far will they go among so many?" he asked. Almost laughable to be suggesting, though it was a lovely gesture that the lad should give his lunch to Jesus. Now, you may not have much, but you have something that's quite enough when the Lord is multiplying it. When you dedicate what you have to the Lord, you receive from him guidance, power, and the anointing to make it just the blessing someone needs at that time. When the dead body touched the bones of Elisha, the man came alive and stood up. And this is recorded for us because Elisha's bones are a picture of the blessing that can come to us from an earlier generation. They're a type of the blessing God will pour upon us because of those who've gone before us. We can be the answer to their prayer, and it's a blessing there for us to take. A blessing that can be passed down from our forebears. Now this is God's mission. He promises it will not cast your bread upon the waters. It will not return void, but will accomplish that for which it is sent. Now we're looking at an outstanding miracle, an unusual miracle today. They thought Elisha was gone. The chapter's closed. We're starting something fresh. And so he had. And it might have been just a memory to them, but a dead body touches him and he comes alive. He comes alive because of what others who've gone before have done. The bones of Elisha speaking to us. The Holy Spirit prepares for the future. We don't know what lies ahead, but the Lord does. And he's leading the way to a home that is prepared for those who love him. The scripture says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And this incident, when the dead man revived on touching the bones of Elisha, was a warning to all who heard about it that the past is not gone and forgotten. It can have an effect today. No folk in that day could say that Elisha was gone and forgotten. Not when a dead body touches his bones and comes alive. Why, his very bones are going to make a man revive again from the dead. And we today have the testimony of countless numbers who've gone before. A testimony to God's faithfulness. And with that testimony is a responsibility. You know, the Christian path is in some ways like a relay race. Different ones play a part. A baton is passed from one to another. We have to take up that which is given to us, run with it, and then pass it on. And then, this miracle of Elisha's bones shows us the value of contact. Do you think this would have happened if they'd thrown the dead man into another tomb? I don't think so. This man revived when his body touched the bones of Elisha. Contact was essential. It was almost as though that contact shook the dead man into the life he could now be living. We're not told why he died, but we are told when he touched the bones of this man of God, Elisha, it was as though God was saying, you should be alive, and presumably carry on something of the work and witness of the prophet. Don't sever yourself from the work and testimony of the servants of God who have gone before. Don't be an isolated Christian. Not only should we enjoy fellowship, but we should enjoy benefit from the encouragement and support that personal contact can give. Do you remember the parable Jesus spoke about yeast or leaven?
Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Matthew 13, verse 33.
This parable illustrates the way the work of the kingdom is going on unseen in the lives of men and women, and the way a small amount of yeast affects a large amount of flour. Most important, it shows us the need for contact. We could almost say that the secret in bread making is the kneading of the dough or the flour mix. The yeast works as it touches the flour, and the gospel message is spread through the contact of those carrying it. There's a reviving, healing quality in the dedicated, born-again Christian worker, sometimes operating in the dirtiest and darkest of places. We might say it arrests evil and promotes good. It arrests decay and imparts life. The gospel message is best heard when the saint comes in contact with the sinner. Was not this the significant thing that happened when on many occasions Jesus touched the sick person? When a man came with leprosy and knelt before him, we read in Matthew's Gospel that Jesus reached out the hand and touched the man. When Jesus visited Peter's house and saw his mother-in-law lying with a fever, we read that he touched her hand and the fever left her. And how about the two men who cried, "Have mercy on us, son of David"? Listen to their story.
As Jesus went on, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored.
Now all these many instances show us that the healing was conveyed through a touch. It was the divine life of Jesus flowing through into dead bodies or parts of bodies. And so it was when this dead man touched the bones of Elijah. It was and is teaching us a lesson. Those who love the Lord, who have his new life flowing through them, must touch others. They must touch the spiritually dead around them. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." And he obviously didn't mean it to be kept in a jar by itself. Certainly, great care must be taken not to be contaminated with the sin and ungodliness of the world. But you must mix to let that healing, life-giving touch be felt by others. We sometimes ask why we are where we are, when we should be looking for the reason. in the world, but not of the world, the scripture says. And that's a good description of the believer that's seeking to shine for Jesus, exercising that preserving, life-giving effect that salt has by making contact with whatever is around. In what are sometimes dark areas, working with what we could call undesirables, God has put you there to shine, perhaps even to struggle in prayer against the forces of evil around you. Jesus told his disciples he had ordained them and sent them forth that they might bring forth fruit. God wants every one of us to have a fruit-bearing ministry. Not that we might perhaps bring forth fruit, or that it is his desire if we can make it, but that we will bring forth fruit. Your life can bear testimony right until he calls, and then the memory or continuation of what you've done can continue to bear fruit. Elisha wasn't inactive here now, although in one way he was. See what happens when the dead body is thrown into his tomb. Then we should note the quality of the life when it is revived by touching Jesus. All these incidents in both Old and New Testaments are illustrations or parables from which we should learn. They're illustrations because those who were healed, even raised to life, had to die again. Their life or health was only prolonged for a while. But they're pictures of the life Jesus gives. He said, "He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whoever lives in and believes in me shall never die." The incident about which we've been looking today in 2 Kings is a startling thing. And when any soul contacts Christ and is made alive, it's a life-changing experience. It's not done in a corner. You note that it must be meeting Jesus or the prophet in the case of our illustration. Nothing less will do. Pious words, high ideals, new resolutions may give a satisfied feeling. But meeting Jesus, touching him, brings new life. The Holy Spirit dwells within. Eternal life courses our spiritual body. The fruits of the Spirit become evident in our lives day by day. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Like the change in this corpse they were about to bury. They didn't need to bury it anymore, did they? That miracle raising the man to life when he touched Elisha's bones only served to remind the Israelites that God was still with them, that the things of God are real. And today the cross of Christ remains clearly seen after 2,000 years. It is before Jesus we must fall in true repentance and at the foot of that cross receive pardon and forgiveness for our sin. Then we can rise in newness of life, not left alone to ourselves to make the best we can of things, but with the promise that Jesus is with us always. He's alive. He says, "I'm alive forevermore." These men threw their friend unwittingly into Elisha's tomb. We need to make the move and go to Jesus to touch him. Reach out and touch the Lord. In the days of the early church, they so wanted that touch that they laid their sick folk in the streets, hoping that at least the shadow of Peter might fall on some of them as they passed by. Now today you and I can have a real or more real experience when you recognize your need and call upon Jesus to save you. He will not send someone else. You will know you have received from the Lord. "Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved," the Bible said. This man's reviving was unbelievable, and your experience of drawing near to and walking with God can be the same. There's life in Christ more wonderful than that received by the dead man in Elisha's day. That was only a sign. What a testimony he would have. What an experience to tell it to another. We cannot think he kept quiet. His story was on everyone's lips. Your experience will be like those on the morning of the resurrection, when the women took the message back to the disciples. We have seen the Lord.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Every Day When You Pray, Say Father."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.